Music from Charlotte Ritchie and her song Good to Me. We also heard from After the Chase and also heard from Sarah Groves. Lots of music heading out over the airwaves and into cyberspace this morning from Broken Road Radio. I'm Jim Park. It is 12 and a half minutes after the hour now. David Allen Punt is here, and we're joined by Dr. Don Clark, a biochemist, hangs out in Garden Valley, Texas, and you're just basking in the sunlight. You're outside today, Don.
I am outside, yes. It's a cool, fortunately it's a cool day and it's not 100 degrees.
You have had a hot summer, haven't
you? 100 degrees. yes, it's the bed and breakfast was full this morning,
okay.
I had to find a different location.
Well, what's this thing about Southern hospitality? I mean, I would have figured... Well, maybe that's asking too much.
Well, yeah, no, they're accommodating me. It's just that I'm in a different location, that's all.
Dr. Don, biochemist and vice chairman of the board with Creation Moments. And, of course, you can learn more about that organization over at creationmoments.com. And we're going to talk this morning about Bill Nye. Now, I have to admit ignorance here. I have not before watched a Bill Nye video. But apparently he has an online video and a program called Big Think. And David, you've seen Bill Nye before, haven't you?
Yeah. I used to watch him, and I don't remember when. I'm trying to think, did I watch him as a kid? But
he's not that old.
That was too long ago.
Yeah.
Mr. Wizard was the guy then.
Don. I can see him. Yeah, I watched Mr. Wizard. Yep. That was. Do you remember?
I haven't really up until this particular video came out.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen any of his PBS. He's on. He's a regular on PBS.
Well, he's a mechanical engineer, it says, and a television personality, and he's got a new video entitled "Creationism is Not Appropriate for Children," and it's intriguing and a neat tease into the video. And I did watch a few minutes of it, and it's a very straightforward presentation, but an interesting slant, and it impresses me. Well, let me just read a little bit of it here, a couple of his comments. He's Bill Nye, the science guy, said, the United States has great capital in scientific knowledge. And here's a quote, when you have a portion of the population that doesn't believe in it, it holds everyone back. And my reaction is, tisk, tisk, tisk. It holds everybody back.
Why does it hold people back?
Well, because we're shielding ourselves, hiding from the truth of evolution is what he's, it's the basic assumption that evolution is the core truth of all this. And he claims that your world becomes fantastically complicated if you don't believe in evolution.
So he lives in a simple life. Then,
it should be simple. Things should be simple. Yeah.
Is his world is simple where he lives?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Dr. Well, Don.
Yeah. It's typical for diehard evolutionists. And I have to say at the onset, I did a little research on on Bill. And in 2010, he won the Secular Humanist. He was the secular humanist man of the year.
Okay.
So that tells a little bit about his background, that he is certainly not coming from a Christian point of view or from any religious point of view other than secular humanism. And so if we do what Bill is asking us to do, and that is not teach our children creation, because that's holding the world of science back, then we actually are going against scripture in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Bill is asking us to have our children depart from the ways of Christianity in particular.
I think more fundamental to his argument, I think, is he's putting forth not only evolution but science itself as a faith. He wants us to believe in it. It sounds very much like a competing religion all of a sudden here.
Yes, well, that's his religion. His religion is science, and I think one of the things that Bill doesn't distinguish, of course, in his video, because it wouldn't be towards his benefit and what he's trying to propose, is that there's two different types of science. There's kind of observational science, in which case you can observe something, you can come up with a model and say, well, I think this is how this works, and then you can actually test it. You can test that model and say, is my model accurate? And you can test it, you know, not only one time, but multiple times. And as we've said before, the laws, like, for example, the law of gravity has been tested so much that it has become, it's no longer a hypothesis, it's no longer a theory, it has become a law, and the law, you know, doesn't change no matter how many times you test it. So there's that type of science, and then there is another field called historical science, where you look at things around you, but from a historically, and in this particular case, the origins of the universe and the origins of us, and you can come up with models, you can come up with a story to tell about how we came into existence, how the universe was formed, and you might even put together some mathematical models that help explain your point of view. But the big problem is that you can't test it. And since you weren't there, you don't know exactly how the universe came about or how we came about. So he's living in that realm and saying, well, it's a fact that evolution exists, and it has been proven. Well, you can't prove it. There, you cannot do an experiment in the laboratory to prove anything about evolution, and yet he and other evolutionists, I might add, secular humanists as well, which he is both, you know, will argue the point that, well, you know, we've talked about evolution so much that it is definitely a proven fact.
Mm. You know, there's another a paragraph, another quote from him I'd like to pass along, and this is a quote from Bill Nye. I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world, that's completely inconsistent with the world we observe. That's fine, but don't make your kids do it, because we need them. Sell us your kids, you know?
Yeah, sell us your kids.
We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need engineers that can build stuff and solve problems, he said.
Well, so when does believing or just not believing in evolution affect any of the others, the observable science that I was talking about?
Well, you're a walking example of a scientist who also is a man of faith, and you don't seem to have trouble combining the two, but much of the world, and Bill Nye included, seems to have that problem. And I don't want to throw too many barbs at Bill Nye, because he's not here to defend himself. But, you know, there's another news story out there today. It was over on Yahoo News about portions of the ocean becoming saltier and other portions becoming more fresh than scientists have the ability to explain. And the whole story is presented as a problem because it's getting saltier or fresher. The slant is not, maybe our tools to explain it are inadequate. You know,
that belongs in the realm of we can observe this. Mm-hmm. It's observable science. Mm-hmm. So if we're having trouble even explaining observable science, and you know, the ocean saltiness is obviously a massive problem. Not a problem from the point of view of, we've got, you know, fish that are going to die because it's either too salty or too fresh, but a problem in explaining it scientifically because we don't have enough knowledge yet. What about those things that happened in the past? I mean, what about, you know, the things that are purported to be, you know, 13.5 billion years old, like the age of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
How are we ever going to explain anything like that when we weren't even there and we can't even observe, for example, not even one star being formed today? There are no new stars, have never been any new stars since the stars were created in the universe, and yet we can say that we understand how star formation happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, and his preference for something simple and digestible shocks me too, because I kind of enjoy the mystery, first of all, and I don't mind at all dealing with the scientific assumptions of evolution and how old is the universe in there? What is it, 16 billion years now? Is that about where the number is?
Oh, yeah, around 13. I think it's 13 and a half or whatever.
As opposed to a young Earth's view where the universe itself is maybe 6,000 and the Earth about that age too, that it was all created at one time within one relatively short period. I think considering all that is a delight and a wonder. And I think we'll go a long way toward exciting the imaginations of our children, much more so than a cut-and-dried theory of evolution. So part of this is very subjective. And I think his particular presentation in this video is entirely subjective and not very scientific, if I might add. So, David, any thoughts?
Well, I want to look at the video. I want to look at and see what Nye said. And I remember seeing him in programs, and I always get the feeling it was kind of like Don Herbert Light.
Don Herbert was the wizard.
Don Herbert was Mr. Wizard. Yeah. And Nye was entertaining, and I thought I never got a deep understanding of science. Of course, so this is the guy that almost flunked biology, but that's neither here nor there. I
think it says a lot about you, David.
Yeah, I think. I think it's more believable, and it's becoming more believable all the time. The young Earth or younger Earth theories of that Don has been talking about, and listening to the young Earth theories, and it seems like. And I found it seems like just about every other day I'm stumbling across examples of where evolution doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And how do you develop a trait that's lethal if you don't have it? Mm-hmm. If you don't have this particular trait, the one I'm thinking about is fire ants in a certain part of that will attach to each other and then become huge floating rafts and go across oceans to repopulate other areas. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you evolve to that?
Yeah.
What do you a couple of ants go out there, and they try to attach and they don't make it because there's only three of them, so they drown, and that means they don't have any offspring, and so they don't have any kids. So somehow they maybe passed the word and said, okay, guys, I got an idea. Let's all attach.
There were four ants standing on the shore watching them as they went down. Said, well, we need more ants. Let's get a couple more guys, see?
We just need more ants.
Yeah.
So how many times did they have to go through this before they probably figured it out? Mm-hmm. And do we need to elect ants as president of the Chicago Teachers Union and president of the United States? I don't know.
I have to explain. We're hot on teacher striking today. And
it just,
David discovered the story this morning. We've been wrestling with it ever since. So. Yeah.
And admittedly, this is the information that I'm not necessarily bombarded with, but focused on, or this is the stream of information that's coming into my head now. But I would have loved to have had this information when I was younger. Well, I say that now because now I just wanted to get out.
You're talking about the whole young Earth scenario and proposition here. And
how about an alternate opinion? Let's look at another possibility. I mean that, and my anthropology instructor would never have suggested such a thing.
Yeah. Don, I've got a question for you here. In picking up the thread of Dave's comments here, that the whole young Earth approach is starting to make sense, and a lot of it under your wing here. And I should mention to listeners that all of our past conversations are available, and you really ought to listen to some of them with Dr. Don on the audio archives page. You can go up there on our homepage, brokenroadradio.com, click on audio archives. You'll see his name down there. Click on that. There'll be a whole series of our Monday conversations on this kind of topic. But Don, your summary of young Earth creationism makes a lot of sense to me, as does the whole biblical story of God's intervention in man's timeline and his presentation of a Savior to bring us all back to square one, where we were meant to be in the beginning. It helps everything else fall into place. It's kind of like the C.S. Lewis quote that, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun rose today. It is not so much that the sun rose, but I see everything else by its light. Once you adopt that point of view, you take that theory, if you will, and start to live your life by it, everything seems to make a lot of sense. And you know you're convicted that, yeah, this is the way it happened. I just need to fill in some of the details now. So it's fun to contend with this other train of thought.
Well, exactly. And as far as, creation and our origins is concerned, there was really only one person who was there. Mm-hmm. I mean, until Adam was formed, of course, and created. But that was God himself. And so if God loved us so much that he gave us a little instruction manual and a history book that said, you know, folks, I know you're wondering how you got here, and so here's the story. We should pay attention to that. And because in Romans 1:20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God, so that they are without excuse. And so everything about the glory of God can be seen by the creation around us. And once we understand that, hey, there's another model out there besides evolution, and we don't have to believe that particular model, that there's a model that God actually gave us himself, then we start looking for evidence for that model. And when you start looking around you and looking at the things of the universe and looking at, you know, God's creation, you come to the conclusion that, wait a minute, this evolutionary model is just, it just doesn't hold water in so many areas. And as David was saying, you know, now that he's maybe, you know, open to another interpretation of how we got here, you find evidence all over the place. So I think, you know, that is, I think that's where we are today. But
if anybody would like to follow up on this Bill Nye video, we do have a link on our website up toward the top when we talk about our conversation, you know, coming this week on Broken Road Radio. You'll see a link there to the CNN article, and you can go from that to the video. There's kind of an encouraging aspect to the story in that he's disturbed that there are so many Americans who don't buy into evolution, which I find encouraging, you know? And I know it's an ongoing argument, and I think that's appropriate. I think it's fun to put the creation story front and center, and I think he's helped us do that. So the kind of an inside-out look at that article says, hey, maybe this is not so bad after all. But we are really competing with another religion, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. It is a belief system, for sure. And it's... And the origins of, obviously, secular humanism, that there is no God, and that there's only us, and so therefore we have to glorify ourselves as opposed to glorifying God, is not only a religion, but it's a very dangerous one.
But as Christians, I don't think we should be surprised by it, or really even dismayed by it, but engage it joyfully. Take it on, because, you know...
Engaging it.
Yeah.
Exactly, and don't give up the discussions just simply because the evolutionists say, well, it's now a proven fact. But we do need to engage. We do need to do enough study to be able to say, well, wait a minute, what about this? Mm-hmm. You know, what about these galaxies that spin in the wrong direction? Mm-hmm. What about, you know, the planets in our own solar system that spin in the wrong direction? If everything came from the Big Bang, then everything should be spinning in the same direction, but it's not. So how do you explain that? Well, we can explain that, you know.
And you know, the age of rationalism has been going on long enough now. We've had enough science under our belt to see a change in its basic stances every 30 or 40 years. I think it's appropriate to question some of the basic assumptions there, and maybe question the validity of our research tools and even the logic in this. I mean, it appears logical on the surface, but they have not... taken in all the evidence. They've denied a huge portion of what should be speaking to them in forming their conclusions. So I wonder if that's maybe a predilection on our part as you know, Western civilization, Greek-trained thought, that we're more enamored and more tickled by the new things and throw out the old things too readily. without giving credibility or credence to the things that our precursors put together over eons of time to forward on to us. We cast it away so easily sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and you have to really get it at the root, excuse me, as to why we're casting it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we want to cast away creation? Why do we want to cast away the biblical account? You know, and one of the arguments, not arguments, but one of the discussions that my son is having on Facebook these days has to do with the origin of the country and whether or not our founding fathers were Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the secular notion is, of course, they weren't Christian. You know, the Christian ideas didn't form this country. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So why do we have the phrase all men are created equal? That doesn't come out of secular
history. The emphasis on the word created.
The only way anybody could say that is that they've never read any founding documents.
Exactly. So
they have no idea.
We become, you know, blinded by our own arrogance and our own pride in thinking that, gee, we know exactly how things happen. And if you can't even remember, you know, recent history, you know, less than 300 years old, how are you going to even have a chance at something as old as the start of the universe, you know?
And, of course, your comment is really validated, verified by recent surveys that indicate that students these days have no idea of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, and such a weak grasp of history that losing the roots is really where the greatest threat comes from. We just don't know where we came from, so we're making up stories, you know, philosophically, theologically, economically, just about every aspect of that. We've been cut off from our roots and don't highly value what we've been given, and I think that's a huge loss for us. Anyway,
it's whose fault is that? I mean, is it the student's fault that he's not being taught civics, you know, even in high school, the foundation of the country or the history, American history, in the right light?
Well, that's a good question. Whose fault is it? Because the teachers don't know it either.
Right. So yeah. I think it's by design. I don't think this is by chance, because if you have an ignorant population, then you can bend the politics and the government of that population to whatever you want. You can mold it into whatever you want. But if you have a populace that understands that, well, you know, gee, this country was founded on Christian principles, and here's why it was founded on Christian principles, because all of these other things weren't working.
Mm-hmm.
And they were being oppressed by a king. You know, and as far as the English that came over here, they were being oppressed by the king. And, you know, everybody knows the Boston Tea Party, but do they understand why there was such a thing as a Boston Tea Party? So,
well, history is a challenge, you know, to teach. I mean, it keeps accumulating, you know, it keeps getting longer and longer. How do you pick the things that are fundamental? Well, I think you got to go back a few years and take a good long look at how we got to where we are today. So.
Well, and even in one of the points I wanted to bring out with this discussion of evolution and creation is that even in this country, with the bombardment of all of the information about evolution being a fact, still 40% of adults believe in creation. And that, to me, is amazing and, you know, points to the fact that, well, you know, they're getting their information from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still not believing the evolutionary story, which must frustrate the evolutionist to no end. So they go for the next best thing, which are our kids, and you know, try to indoctrinate them in their belief system.
Well, you know, this suggests conspiracy, and it's got to be a conspiracy of monumental proportions and over a length of time. So I'm not sure we can ascribe that to one person or even one group of people. I think it's spiritual. David, didn't mean to cut you off there.
Well, you changed the subject, I was thinking about that too. I think it is a plot. I think it is there is a plan, and I don't know if it's all that well organized, because if it is, it's not working real well. I mean, there's a backlash, and you know, the Rebel Alliance is going heading for their caves and their AA batteries, and we will rise to fight again. I guess I'm wondering about the part of the natural spirit of human beings that wants to be subjugated, and there are some of us that are that way. I mean, even during the revolution, easily a third, maybe even two-thirds of the population was opposed to having our own country and making up our own minds. I mean, there were a lot of people that were loyal to the crown and remained that way, and that continued to be. And I'm wondering if the huge segment of the population doesn't want to think with anything above the neck, and they'd prefer to think with other organs to make them feel better, make their heartbeat faster or whatever. And you're right about evolution. It's indoctrinated in the school system. And every time you turn around, you see evolution preached and pumped in all kinds of other venues, other television programs, other movies, other all kinds of things like that.
And of course,
you're right, Don. It's got to be just a shock that the evolutionists are saying, where have I gone wrong? What have I done? Mm-hmm. Why didn't they understand? I wonder, and I've wondered this a long time, I wondered if there's not an alternate theory that's not creationism and it's not evolution, but something that is attempted to bring in the phenomena that doesn't fit into the evolutionary theory and somehow bring it into the fold.
You kind of nudge them in our direction, kind of like, can't we all just get along?
Kind of like a Rodney King theory of evolution. But I've not heard of it. I don't know anything about it.
Well, there is the intelligent design movement that started as a scientific kind of alternative to evolution, if you will, stating that, well, gee, we look around us, we look at especially the cell and everything in the cell and all of these wonderful machines that couldn't have possibly gotten there on their own, that they had to be designed, and so there must be an intelligent designer. Now, they don't address who that designer is, and you can put in whoever you want as that designer, unlike Christianity, where we know that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But so there are many, many scientists that have acknowledged, at least, that there is intelligence in this created world that we see.
Hmm. Okay. Well, maybe that's the kind of the neutral ground. And as I understand it, that whole intelligent design approach was put together to help persuade school systems that we're not going to be waving religion in their face, but that we want you to think in the other direction. And I believe the evidence of your own eyes. What does your mind tell you? There's the old allegory of a watch. If somebody walking on the beach discovers a watch in the sand, you pick it up and your first assumption is this belongs to somebody, and furthermore, it was made by somebody who knew how to put it together. That's a logical conclusion based upon your own innate intelligence and your own observations. And that's hard to go wrong that way. But when you start excluding the evidence, when all you look at the watch case and don't think beyond that, you can come up with evolution really easily. And it's discarding some of the facts, some of your observable facts that speak to you otherwise. And, of course, these days, evolution being presented is fact, not theory anymore. I mean, it's still... They pay lip service to the theory of evolution, but it's really just a grand story. And now, with the Bill Nye article, it sounds more like a faith, a religion, than anything else. Dr. Don, thank you so much for joining us again this morning. He's basking in the sunshine outside. What's the name of the coffee shop again?
It's Mount Sylvan Coffee Shop. It's also a bed and breakfast. So
okay,
if you want to come to East Texas and have a pleasant place to stay, then I would highly recommend the Mount Sylvan Coffee Shop Bed and Breakfast. It
looks like a very, very pleasant place. And thank them for their hospitality. Again, we appreciate them loaning you their Wi-Fis. We get a fast enough connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Doctor,
very gracious people.
Dr. Don Clark with Creation Moments. You can link to the Creation Moments site from our website, at brokenroadradio.com. It's over on the right-hand side of the homepage. It'll take you to just a wealth of resources for your church and your study groups and DVDs. And there's a blog there. Dr. Don blogs there. And you'll learn a lot. Also, we're going to remind you about the audio archives on brokenroadradio.com. If you want to play back some of the earlier conversations, they're all there. Months worth of them, and they all run about a half an hour. So give it some time, and you'll learn a lot and appreciate Dr. Don, as we do here on Broken Road Radio. Don, have a great week. Be blessed, and we'll talk to you again on Monday, okay?
Okay, thank you. And it's been, as usual, it's been a pleasure talking with both.
We're kind of losing the connection here, but Dr. Don, thank you. Dick Tunney and his wife Mel playing sing for us on this Monday. Good morning to you.